Hi, Kurt Mortens again. Welcome back to the next C of Trust. As a review, we've talked about character, we've talked about competence, and today we're going to focus on confidence. Then in the upcoming sessions, we'll be talking about credibility and, of course, congruence. So what is confidence? Your assurance, your belief, your conviction? Do you really believe in what you're saying? Do other people believe in what you're saying? That's probably even more important to ask. You know, according to J. Conrad Levinson of Guerrilla Marketing fame, confidence is the number one reason people are persuaded to buy from you. Confidence triggers trust. No confidence triggers distrust. Now, when you can demonstrate confidence in everything you do, what that does is it increases others' abilities to place their trust in you. When I do research, I've seen plenty of people of only average to mediocre ability to persuade and influence, but they are more effective than others who are more naturally gifted simply because they exuded greater confidence. The people we admire and look up to the most are usually the type of people who know what they want and how to get it. Can you think of a time when you went to do something or buy something and the person seemed uneasy? I know it made you feel uneasy, and it didn't trigger trust. People who lack confidence will always struggle to effectively influence others. If you're perceived as doubtful or underconfident, your audience will feel that way too, about you, about your product, about your service, about your idea, anything that you're doing. Don't panic. If you don't feel full confidence 100% of the time, we can work on that. Complete confidence in oneself takes experience, time, patience, and even practice. Since confidence is so critical, it's important to understand what hinders it. This can be summed up in one four-letter word: fear. All doubts, questions, concerns, insecurities can ultimately be traced back to fear in one form or another. Whether it's deeply hidden or right on the surface, you need to make sure that your confidence and your commitment to success are bigger than your fears. What does your audience sense? Are they afraid to pick up the phone and talk to people? The desire to overcome your fears needs to be bigger than the fear itself. When you are afraid, that fear will breed doubt and suck the energy right out of you. Well, it's okay to have fear. You must be able to handle and manage that fear. So when you talk about fear and people who lack confidence, what are some of the symptoms? And be honest with yourself. Do they react defensively to criticism? Are they honest about their own abilities and limits? Or do they have this fog or these glasses on and not really know what they can and cannot do? Do they hate the advice or input from others? They always take that as an attack. They don't learn from their mistakes. They do the same things over and over and over again, expecting different results. You know what that means. Blame others for things that go wrong. They avoid new challenges. They always want to play it safe. They don't want to rock the boat. They always expect the worst and usually get it. Those are all symptoms of those who lack confidence. And we can all increase confidence in our lives, confidence in our actions, and then confidence in what we do. As we talked about with fear, fear breeds doubt. Doubt destroys confidence. So, a few more things that inhibit confidence and feed that fear. When someone continually replays failures over and over and over in their mind, that triggers more fear. Always having destructive, negative thoughts. Always in a state of worry. Did you know that worry has been defined as negative goal setting? Having a negative attitude. Do you know where your attitude comes from? Your expectations, indecision, hesitation, being in a foul, negative, pessimistic mood, all decrease your confidence and increase your fear, and people can sense it. You might think you're covering it up, but they sense something is wrong. But here's the question I always get. What's the difference between cocky and confident? I think we'll all agree that it's a fine line between the two. So if a persuader or influencer seems overly confident, doesn't that hurt the ability to persuade? And the answer is absolutely. It is important that you do not come across as cocky or arrogant. So again, how can you tell the difference? Well, to me, it's all about the intention. Confidence is motivated by sincere desire to serve, that you can really make a difference, and you know that you can do a great job. You know that you have the tools, resources, ability, and maybe even the inclination to do the job that's required of you. On the flip side, cockiness is driven by the need to serve yourself instead of serving others. Deep down, cockiness actually reveals insecurity, the very opposite of confidence. The distinguishing feature seems to be intent. Arrogant people seek approval, recognition, and honor from all the wrong sources, in all the wrong ways, and for all the wrong reasons. They are really looking for pats on their own back. That's a form of insecurity. Cockiness is self-centered, whereas confidence is people-centered. Cockiness is about you, and confidence is about the customer. If your audience senses any pride or superiority, the game is over, just the same as if you were not confident enough. It simply doesn't matter if you say and do all the right things. If you turn people off, it is a lost cause. If they don't like you, they will not be persuaded by you, and you can't build trust. So, when I talk to people after the persuasion process, and they say, well, they were arrogant, they were cocky, they were condescending, I said, explain that to me. And here are some of the things. Acted like they owned the place. Treated me like a child. In other words, they felt stupid. They did not listen to the person. Blamed other people. Did not own up to their mistake. Never answered the right questions. And the need to always be right are all triggers to arrogance and cockiness. So to avoid arrogance, be genuine, be sincere, be open to their feedback, be open to their criticism. Nobody's perfect. Don't pretend to be. Be willing to listen. Don't always be the one talking and vomiting all the features and benefits or all the reasons they should be persuaded by you. Admit you're wrong. Admit you made a mistake. Admit you could do better. We could all relate to that. Be honest about the strengths and weaknesses of your product and competing products. Never interrupt, never jump in, always let them finish the sentence. Always ask questions, sincere, open-ended questions to demonstrate that care and concern. So let's talk about this. Let's give you some homework. You have to understand people are constantly looking for someone to help direct them in their lives and help them make the right decision, somebody to trust. Demonstrating confidence in everything you do will draw others to you and put their trust in you. Again, I've seen plenty of people of only average to mediocre ability influence more effectively than others that are more naturally gifted just because they exuded that high confidence. Remember, when you're perceived as doubtful or unconfident, they will feel that way too about you or your product, your service, your idea. Remember, this is coming across as a first impression. And a first impression is like fixing a wrecked car. Even though it's fixed, you still know it's been wrecked. And confidence is a habit that can be strengthened. Confidence grows by doing, not by thinking. And sometimes you might need to fake it till you make it. So a big part of this underconfidence is your fear. What is your number one fear? People can sense it. It's costing you a lot of money. And where did you learn it? This is what I'm saying. You were only born with two fears. A newborn baby was born with the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. So all these fun little fears you've picked up along the way, you've learned them, and the good news is you can unlearn them. So what is your number one fear? Where did you learn it? I want you to reprogram your mind this week and face that fear. Just like the dentist, you're scared, you're concerned, you don't want to go, what if it hurts? You put it off, you go, and you finally say, oh, wasn't that bad. And that's true with most of your fears. Is it giving a presentation? Is it talking to somebody? Whatever that fear is, face it, do it. And it's going to give you so much confidence to realize, first of all, that wasn't that bad. Second of all, hey, I actually achieved something here. Again, ask yourself, what's it going to cost you not to face this fear? What is the worst thing to happen with this fear? Just get out there and do it. It gives you great confidence. I know it makes you a little uneasy. You want to be successful. You want to gain trust. You want to overcome your fear. And be more confident, you do this homework, and you'll see major changes in your psyche, in your mindset, and your ability to gain trust.